the manifestation of Allah from Hadrat Vishnu. Text number 20.
Tamasi apare.
Because of an ignorant way of searching. Vidura.
Overdura.
Atmasagam. The cause of his creation. Vichinvataha. While contemplating. Abhut. It so became. Sumahan. Very great. Chinamihi. Time of three dimensions. Yaha. Which. Dehavajam. Of the embodied. Ayam. Fearfulness. Irayana. Generating. Parikshinoti. Diminishing the 100 years. Ayu. Duration of life. Ajasya. Of the self-born. Hetihi. The wheel of eternal time. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Overdura. While searching in that way about his existence, Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu, and which generates fear in the mind of the living entity, like the fear of death. There's no purport, so I'll read text 21. Tato nivrito patinam takama sadhishnam asadya punasadeva shanetita shvasa nivrita tito nasidad arudha samadhi yoga. Thereafter, being unable to achieve the desired destination, he retired from such searching and came back again to the top of the lotus. Thus, controlling all objectives, he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord. Purport. Samadhi involves concentrating the mind upon the Supreme Cause of all, even if one is unaware of whether his actual nature is personal, impersonal, or localized. Concentration of the mind on the Supreme is certainly a form of devotional service. To cease from personal sense endeavors and to concentrate on the Supreme Cause is a sign of self-surrender. And when self-surrender is present, that is a sure sign of devotional service. Each and every living entity needs to engage in devotional service to the Lord if he wishes to understand the ultimate cause of his existence. Om Gyanam Nirandasya Kyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manohishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Gurum Sadhavadam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sadhavadam Sakna Vagnatam Vitamitam Sajivam Sarvetam Sarvadutam Purichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Sargana Laita Shri Shakam Vitam Stha He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dinabantu Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kantana Goranki Radhe Vrindavaneshri Vrishvanu Sute Devi Pranami Harikriye Panchakalpa Purubhyascha Kripa Sindhabhyevita Patitanam Pavnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So the verse again,
tamasipaya vidaratmasagam vitinvito bhut sumahams trinemi yodeha bhajam pam irayana parikshino chayu ajase hetihi. O Vidura, while searching in that way about his existence, Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu, and which generates fear in the mind of the living entity like the fear of death. Hare Krishna. So, hearing more about Lord Brahma's search for his existence. This is the beginning of spiritual life, as we hear in from Vedanta Sutra, Atato Brahma Jignasa, that in conditioned life in the material world, we don't actually understand who we are, what we're doing here, or anything like that. So therefore we have to inquire. And particularly now that we have the human form of life, we may not be able to conceive of when we were in different other species of life, but that is the nature of changing bodies in the material world, that there's, along with that, there's forgetfulness. So we forget being all the other species of life and all the, you know, struggles we had to go through in life. You just see the so many species of life and they're just struggling, and so are we. If you sometimes you watch a ant on the ground, and because they're very small and they have, you know, a little antenna thing about, you know, a quarter of a millimeter long, and that's their that's how they interact with the world. That's how their that's their whole field of perception. Whatever information can come in through that quarter of a millimeter of, you know, antenna. That's all they know. So you just watch it and it's going here and there, it's completely lost, and it doesn't know anything, and it's, I mean, it's lost its nest or something. So it's a very, you know, miserable and unfortunate for that creature, and we're just the same. It's said that whatever all the grades of living entity are higher than above us, then they kind of look upon us like we look down on the lower animals. The demigods also look down on us and say what a pitiful existence that they're living, such a short life, just 100 years if we're lucky, and they're, you know, working so hard. So Sri Mahaprabhu might say that we're building sandcastles and on the beach, and we're, you know, trying to become the king of that castle. and the waves come and wash it away, and we fall into lamentation. So then we again endeavour and struggle so hard to acquire the sand necessary for building and rebuild our lives and rebuild our families, and the waves come again and smash us. So this is the nature of the material world. It's just a struggle for existence. So therefore Brahma is trying to find out the supreme cause of his existence. And this is the instruction for us, that we need to really inquire deeply and endeavour to connect ourselves to spiritual existence and get out of material existence, which is only suffering. So that connection to the spiritual existence begins with inquiry. And we've seen in the previous few verses that Brahma wasn't able to, you know, he went down into the water and down the stem of the lotus. And it says in yesterday's verse, but in spite of entering the stem and going nearer to the navel of Vishnu, he could not trace out the root. So Vishnu was there in the water, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and the lotus stem had come from his navel. And Brahma was going to go down there. You'd think, you know, it's a bit logical, he would find Vishnu. If, you know, eventually, he would get to the bottom of the lotus stem. But that is like approaching the Lord directly. So that's not possible. He's as though Vishnu, he's in this universe, lying on the bottom. He's not part of this universe. He's not affected by the material, you know, contamination, material inebriety. So he can't be approached through material means of any material method of, you know, scientific advancement, trying to understand the cause of creation. So therefore, today, reading in text 21, so he was unable to achieve the desired destination. Labdhakama. Aprapti labdhakama. Aprapti, so he did not achieve the karma, the desired destination. So it says he retired from such searching. Nivritta. He retired from that endeavor of searching by material means and came back again to the top of the lotus. So this is, we have that word in today's verse, Nivritta. So the path of spiritual life is Nivritti Mark, giving up sense enjoyment, the path of renouncing sense enjoyment, to instead engage in pleasing the senses of the Supreme Lord. So therefore he went back to the top of the lotus and concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord. Arudha Samadhi Yoga. Arudha translated as in confidence. So this is also, in confidence, this is also necessary in our spiritual practice, that we can also take it as, you know, faith. That we're engaging in our devotional service with faith. We're sure, based on the assurances of the previous acharyas, that if we engage ourselves fully, then we will attain the objective that is that they say we'll achieve, namely going back to Godhead and be liberated from all material suffering and engage in the association of Krishna in bliss and eternity. So that confidence, that faith, that is the process of devotional service, just gradually building our faith. All of the stages in devotional service are just a development of the initial faith that we first came with. We came with some faith that these people are nice, and this philosophy is nice, this food is nice. And so we have some faith that this is better than what I'm doing before, whatever we were doing in material life. And so then, through practice of devotional service, we increase our faith. So, Lord Brahma, he's come to the stage, his faith is great enough that he's able to fully concentrate his mind on the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that samadhi involves concentrating the mind upon the supreme cause of all, even if one is unaware of whether his actual nature is personal, impersonal, or localized. So, of course, we're stressing on Bhagavan realization, the personal form of Krishna. But Prabhupada is saying here that even if someone tries to concentrate their mind on any of the forms of Krishna, Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, then that is good. So any kind of concentration on the Supreme is, that is samadhi. So many people have some kind of faith in God. They may not know who God is, or that they believe in God, and They might even pray to God. So that is kind of samadhi, concentrating the mind on the Supreme. Prabhupada talks about ceasing from personal sense endeavors and concentrating on the Supreme Cause is a sign of self-surrender. And when self-surrender is present, that is a sure sign of devotional service. Each and every living entity needs to engage in devotional service to the Lord if he wishes to understand the ultimate cause of his existence. So this is a very foundation of our devotional service, that understanding the necessity of it. Prabhupada is saying here, each and every living entity needs to engage in devotional service. So without understanding our spiritual identity as a, you know, minute jiva, minute spirit soul, then we won't understand the importance of our devotional service. And the wonderful opportunity that Prabhupada's giving us to, you know, get out of the, you know, maya of material existence and return to Krishna. So we're struggling in so many ways. We may be engaged in chanting and doing service, and that needs to be supported by, you know, knowledge, spiritual, transcendental knowledge, that we're a spirit soul. And that devotional service is the objective of all our activities. So the outcome of what we're doing, or the result, is not so important. But just the mood of wanting to please Krishna. And then, as you know, as a secondary to that, then we may desire to achieve some, you know, good result for Krishna, because that will please him. But not that we first of all engage just because it's going to get a good result for us. I didn't read it fully, but I was reading yesterday something that, you know, spiritual life, they're making some analogy that spiritual life is like child's play, that it's apparently meaningless, but it's actually very profound. So in our devotional service, people may look at us and say, you know, what are they doing there? Just chanting on the street like silly people and dancing, or getting so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But what is the meaning? But actually, if we understand it, it's actually such a deep thing. Generally, materialists will, you know, I know there's people, they criticize that. How can you just, you know, why do you have to spend all your time just engaging in Krishna consciousness? You know, why don't you just be normal and, you know, do some other things as well? You know, go out with friends and go watch a footy match, and, you know, you don't have to spend all your time doing that. Just, you know, it's too much, too fanatic. But then, like my Guru Maharaj explains, then we see if someone does that in material life, if someone fully engages themselves with full determination and faith and just focuses their mind on one point in hitting a golf ball into a hole, then they're glorified. So, for example, there's any sports, great sports personality, they have to go through a whole process of concentrating the mind and training up and learning the techniques of their particular art. And until they can reach the top of their field. And so then they're glorified for that, and people want to know them and know the secrets of, you know, hitting a ball into a hole. So people glorify for them, but if we concentrate our mind on Krishna, then they, you know, they say it's useless. So they're hypocritical. So the more we surrender to Krishna, then, you know, the more he, of course, reciprocates with us, and you know, enables us to do more than, you know, we thought possible. So, especially Maya and our conditioned mind can limit us and just, you know, feed us with negative thoughts and, you know, try to hold us back, say don't do so much. You know, who do you think you are? But actually, this is what Krishna wants. He wants us to increase our devotional service, increase our desire to please the previous acharyas, and increase our service to the other devotees. Generally, with Maya, just makes us too much conscious of our own personal needs. So, said here, to cease from personal sense endeavors is a sign of self-surrender. So, yeah, this is what we need to do to achieve self-realization. Give up personal sense enjoyment. You know, everything that we do for the body, it doesn't reciprocate on the same level. You know, we can work all day for maintaining the body and looking after ourselves and everything and resting and everything, but at the end of the day, then it doesn't actually give us any happiness. It's just material life is all about, you know, mitigating distress and avoiding suffering. So, you know, people are, you know, doing things to achieve happiness. They're, you know, jogging and looking after their bodies and eating healthy foods, but it's not actual happiness, it's just counteracting the stress. So if they have a, you know, healthy body, they can not feel so much distress, but there's no positive happiness. Not like when we go out on Harinam and chant and give Krishna consciousness to others, then actually we feel positive spiritual happiness. Otherwise, material life is only mitigating distress, and they call that happiness. So actually, in material life, although people promise so much, and you know, especially the media and advertising and everything promise so much about happiness, or they, you know, actually no one knows what actual happiness is. If we understand from the scriptures what happiness is, that, you know, even the happiness of Brahman, being liberated from all material duality, even that happiness is just a drop in the ocean of Krishna Prema. So, therefore, we have to become humble and understand that we don't know very much. We don't know what happiness is, we don't know who we are, and therefore just engage in devotional service with surrender to the previous acharyas. Practice this process of Krishna consciousness, understanding that, you know, we're very fallen souls, who, you know, we've spent so long in material life just trying to serve our senses, and therefore that trying to serve the senses actually covers our knowledge of who we are, and covers our happiness, and, you know, makes us very self-centered, hard-hearted, and therefore we can't, you know, we're envious of others, so we have all these coverings on the consciousness. So, understanding this, we should just try to learn what is the process of devotional service, and how I can apply it more and more in my life, and then and humility is the gateway, as advanced devotees always remind us, that without being humble and understanding that really I'm no one, and I have no real understanding of what's going on and in the universe and in my own body, for example, then so we should just be humble and surrender to the process of devotional service. And this is the, you know, because if we think we know something, if we think we know, you know, how to get happiness, how to look after ourselves, and, you know, we have so much knowledge from the scientists, then that's a symptom of pride, and it's a block to our spiritual progress. So Krishna wants to see some humility before he will bestow upon us some transcendental knowledge. As Lord Chaitanya's famous verse, Chanadapi Sanichana Taropi Sihishana Amani Ma Amani Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So to be constantly chanting, you know, we chant in the morning and it's very blissful, and we kind of struggle in our japa, and then the rest of the day we, you know, we can see in ourselves how much are we chanting. And therefore to increase our chanting, we need to understand that we're just very small spirit souls. And therefore, it's not surprising. It's not. If we understand that, then it's not so difficult to think of ourselves as lower than a straw in the street. We're lower than the, you know, the ant in the street, or the anything. We're, and then when we have that mood, then we can get rid of our envy of others. And therefore, and be able to recognize that others are also valuable. Others are also worthy to be glorified. And we can, you know, offer respects to everyone as parts and parcel of Krishna. Everyone, as the spirit soul, has all the qualities of Krishna. Therefore, everyone has some good quality that is in Krishna. And the devotee looks for that and appreciates the good qualities of others. As Lord Brahma prays, so he's trying to find out the ultimate cause of his existence, and of course he, in this pastime, and so he says in Brahma Samhita that Govindamani Purusham Tamaham Vajami. So he's found that cause of his existence, and he engages in Vajami worship and devotion to that Supreme Lord. I'll leave it there and see if there's any comments or questions about the verse or anything else. Yes.
You mentioned about humility, so how do you obtain this quality of humility?
First hearing someone say, question is, how do we attain the quality of humility? Everything comes from Krishna. The living entity can only desire to, and as devotees, we're trying to desire more to be engaged in devotional service and make spiritual progress. And so everything that we do, we're just trying to show Krishna that we're serious about our desire to make spiritual progress. You know, so we hear lectures, we try to chant sincerely, we try to see the deities every day and engage in all the processes of bhakti yoga. So by this engagement in the activities of devotional service, then we're just we're putting ourselves forward to Krishna. And also the Hare Krishna mantra, it's like I think Prabhupada mentioned, it's like when you petition someone, someone sends in a petition with so many names, and so we're just constantly and petitioning Krishna to please engage us in his service. And if we're sincere about that, then Krishna reciprocates, and we can, he gives us transcendental knowledge. And of course, it's something we try to cultivate as well. That cultivation of humility is just showing Krishna that we're desiring to have this quality so that we can make more progress. And everything is dependent upon Krishna. Anything else? Really finished today. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hitai Gaur Premanandi.